Welcome to day 198 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we will be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapters 18 through 22, and we will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. These four chapters are filled with prophetic messages that were spoken by the prophet Isaiah to several nations. The first one to the nation of Ethiopia, who had a common foe, which was Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrians, who had threatened both Ethiopia and Judah, and therefore both had concern about the power of the Assyrian army. And the very first chapter is a word of the Lord to the envoys or ambassadors from Ethiopia that happened to be visiting Jerusalem at the time Isaiah gave this word. And he tells them, here's the message. The Lord himself is going to intervene against this enemy. So go back to your country and tell what the Lord's going to do. And so that was a surprise, undoubtedly, to the Ethiopians, who weren't expecting to get a prophetic word about their situation. And yet they received one. They went back and told this word of the Lord to the country to encourage them that God was going to overthrow the Assyrian army and protect them in the midst of that. And in the end, they would end up sending a gift of homage or an offering to the Lord in Israel because of the great deliverance that they're going to receive because of God's intervention. And then we hear another oracle or prophetic declaration that's made to the nation of Egypt. And in this one, the Egyptians are warned that they are about to be demoralized because God is going to intervene and come against the Egyptians, and that the heart of the Egyptians will literally melt from fear. But God's going to do it in such a way that Egyptians will be fighting against Egyptians. They won't even need an invading army to try to destroy them because they'll end up fighting against one another. And then in the end, and this is the most beautiful part of the prophecy from Isaiah, it says that God will make himself known to the Egyptians, and they will end up turning their hearts and their loyalty toward the Lord God and become true worshipers of God. And they will literally join with Assyria in praising God, and they will turn and become part of God's kingdom. So that's an amazing prophetic word. So that's what we're going to hear today, among a few others, but the idea being that these different nations are receiving a word from the Lord through the prophet from Israel named Isaiah. So starting at Isaiah chapter 18 and verse 1. Alas, O land of whirring wings, which lies beyond the rivers of Cush, which sends envoys by the sea, even in papyrus vessels on the surface of the waters, go, swift messengers, to a nation tall and smooth, to a people feared far and wide, a powerful and oppressive nation, whose land the rivers divide. All you inhabitants of the world and dwellers on earth, as soon as a standard is raised on the mountains, you will see it. And as soon as the trumpet is blown, you will hear it. For thus the Lord has told me, I will look from my dwelling place quietly, like dazzling heat in the sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, as soon as the bud blossoms and the flower becomes a ripening grape, then he will cut off the sprigs with pruning knives and remove and cut away the spreading branches. They will be left together for mountain birds of prey and for the beasts of the earth, and the birds of prey will spend the summer feeding on them. And all the beasts of the earth will spend harvest time on them. At that time, a gift of homage will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth, even from a people feared far and wide, a powerful and oppressive nation whose land the rivers divide, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, even Mount Zion. Chapter 19. The Oracle Concerning Egypt. Behold, the Lord is riding on a swift cloud and is about to come to Egypt. The idols of Egypt will tremble at his presence, and the heart of the Egyptians will melt within them. So I will incite Egyptians against Egyptians, and they will each fight against his brother and each against his neighbor, city against city and kingdom against kingdom. Then the spirit of the Egyptians will be demoralized within them, and I will confound their strategy, so that they will resort to idols and ghosts of the dead, and to mediums and spiritists. Moreover, I will deliver the Egyptians into the hand of a cruel master, and a mighty king will rule over them, declares the Lord God of hosts. The waters from the sea will dry up, and the river will be parched and dry. The canals will emit a stench. The streams of Egypt will thin out and dry up. The reeds and rushes will rot away. The bulrushes by the Nile, by the edge of the Nile, and all the sown fields by the Nile will become dry, be driven away, and be no more. And the fishermen will lament, and all those who cast a line into the Nile will mourn, and those who spread nets on the waters will pine away. Moreover, the manufacturers of linen made from combed flax and the weavers of white cotton will be utterly dejected, and the pillars of Egypt will be crushed. All the hired laborers will be grieved in soul. The princes of Zoan are mere fools. The advice of Pharaoh's wisest advisors has become stupid. How can you men say to Pharaoh, I am a son of the wise, a son of ancient kings? Well then, where are your wise men? Please let them tell you, and let them understand what the Lord of hosts has purposed against Egypt. The princes of Zoan have acted foolishly. The princes of Memphis are deluded. Those who are the cornerstone of her tribes have led Egypt astray. The Lord has mixed within her a spirit of distortion. They have led Egypt astray in all that it does, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. They will be no work for Egypt, which its head or tail, its palm branch or bulrush may do. In that day, the Egyptians will become like women, and they will tremble and be in dread because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he is going to wave over them. The land of Judah will become a terror to Egypt. Everyone to whom it is mentioned will be in dread of it because of the purpose of the Lord of hosts, which he is purposing against them. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will be speaking the language of Canaan and swearing allegiance to the Lord of hosts. One will be called the City of Destruction. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord near its border. It will become a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they will cry to the Lord because of oppressors, and he will send them a savior and a champion, and he will deliver them. Thus the Lord will make himself known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. They will even worship with sacrifice and offering, and will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. The Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing, so that they will return to the Lord, and he will respond to them and will heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians will come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be the third party with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, Blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Chapter 20. In the year that the commander came to Ashdod, when Sargon the king of Assyria sent him, and he fought against Ashdod and captured it, at that time the Lord spoke through Isaiah the son of Amoz, saying, Go and loosen the sackcloth from your hips, and take your shoes off your feet. And he did so, going naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, Even as my servant Isaiah has gone naked and barefoot 3 years, as a sign and token against Egypt and Cush, so the king of Assyria will lead away the captives of Egypt and the exiles of Cush, young and old, naked and barefoot, with buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. Then they will be dismayed and ashamed because of Cush, their hope, and Egypt, their boast. So the inhabitants of this coastland will say in that day, Behold, such is our hope, where we fled for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and we, how shall we escape? Chapter 21. The Oracle Concerning the Wilderness of the Sea. As windstorms in the Negev sweep on, it comes from the wilderness, from a terrifying land. A harsh vision has been shown to me. The treacherous one still deals treacherously, and the destroyer still destroys. Go up, Elam, lay siege, Media. I have made an end of all the groaning she has caused. For this reason, my loins are full of anguish. Pains have seized me like the pains of a woman in labor. I am so bewildered I cannot hear, so terrified I cannot see. My mind reels, horror overwhelms me. The twilight I longed for has been turned for me into trembling. They set the table, they spread out the cloth, they eat, they drink. Rise up, captains, oil the shields. For thus the Lord says to me, Go, station the lookout, let him report what he sees. When he sees riders, horsemen in pairs, a train of donkeys, a train of camels, let him pay close attention, very close attention. Then the lookout called, O Lord, I stand continually by day on the watchtower, and I am stationed every night at my guard post. Now behold, here comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs. And one said, Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the images of her gods are shattered on the ground. O, my threshed people, and my afflicted of the threshing floor, what I have heard from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I make known to you. The Oracle Concerning Edom. One keeps calling to me from Seir, Watchman, how far gone is the night? Watchman, how far gone is the night? The watchman says, Morning comes, but also night. If you would inquire, come back again. The Oracle About Arabia. In the thickets of Arabia you must spend the night, O caravans of Dedanites. Bring water for the thirsty, O inhabitants of the land of Tema. Meet the fugitive with bread, for they have fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the press of battle. For thus the Lord said to me, In a year, as a hired man would count it, all the splendor of Kedar will terminate, and the remainder of the number of bowmen, the mighty men of the sons of Kedar, will be few, for the Lord God of Israel has spoken. Chapter 22. The Oracle Concerning the Valley of Vision. What is the matter with you now that you have all gone up to the housetops? You who were full of noise, you boisterous town, you exultant city, your slain were not slain with the sword, nor did they die in battle. All your rulers have fled together and have been captured without the bow. All of you who were found were taken captive together, though they had fled far away. Therefore I say, turn your eyes away from me. Let me weep bitterly. Do not try to comfort me concerning the destruction of the daughter of my people. For the Lord God of hosts has a day of panic, subjugation, and confusion in the valley of vision, a breaking down of walls, and a crying to the mountain. Elam took up the quiver with the chariots, infantry, and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. Then your choicest valleys were full of chariots, and the horsemen took up fixed positions at the gate, and he removed the defense of Judah. In that day, you depended on the weapons of the house of the forest, and you saw that the breaches in the wall of the city of David were many, and you collected the waters of the lower pool. Then you counted the houses of Jerusalem and tore down houses to fortify the wall. You made a reservoir between the two walls for the waters of the old pool, but you did not depend on him who made it, nor did you take into consideration him who planned it long ago. Therefore, in that day, the Lord, the God of hosts, called to you to weeping, to wailing, to shaving the head, and to wearing sackcloth. Instead, there is gaiety and gladness, killing of cattle and slaughtering of sheep, eating of meat and drinking of wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we may die. But the Lord of hosts revealed himself to me. Surely this iniquity shall not be forgiven you until you die, says the Lord God of hosts. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, come, go to this steward, to Shebna, who is in charge of the royal household. What right do you have here, and whom do you have here, that you have hewn a tomb for yourself here? You who hew a tomb on the height, you who carve a resting place for yourself in the rock, behold, the Lord is about to hurl you headlong, O man, and he is about to grasp you firmly and roll you tightly like a ball to be cast into a vast country. There you will die, and there your splendid chariots will be, you shame of your master's house. I will depose you from your office, and I will pull you down from your station. Then it will come about in that day that I will summon my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your tunic and tie your sash securely about him. I will entrust him with your authority, and he will become a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. I will drive him like a peg in a firm place, and he will become a throne of glory to his father's house. So they will hang on him all the glory of his father's house, offspring and issue, all the least of vessels, from bowls to all the jars. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, the peg driven in a firm place will give away. It will even break off and fall, and the load hanging on it will be cut off. For the Lord has spoken. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to draw your attention to a passage that you just heard the reading of from the 19th chapter of Isaiah. And it's a beautiful passage with multiple verses that's talking about Egypt. And it comes after a grand description or prophetic utterance of Isaiah talking about how there's going to be a judgment coming on Egypt and that the Lord was going to deliver the Egyptians into the hand of a cruel master, a mighty king that was going to rule over them, basically that they were going to be oppressed by a foreign nation, and that they were going to go through a season of famine where the waters of the Nile were going to dry up, and it was going to be a sad day. The fishermen will lament because they depended on the Nile for their sustenance and their livelihood. And it had a long description of all the hardship that Egypt was about to endure because of a judgment of the Lord against that nation. But after many verses describing what was coming, there are verses that follow it that are full of hope and promise. And I want to read those verses to you and then just make a few comments before we close today. It says here in chapter 19 of Isaiah, beginning at verse 19, it says this: "In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord near its border. It will become a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they will cry to the Lord because of oppressors, and he will send them a savior and a champion, and he will deliver them. Thus the Lord will make himself known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. They will even worship with a sacrifice and offering and will make a vow to the Lord and perform it." And then it goes on to say, "The Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing. So they will return to the Lord, and he will respond to them and will heal them." Now I want to bring to your attention these scripture verses because they reveal the heart of God toward all of mankind. You know, as you hear the reading from the Old Testament and you hear the stories of God's judgments on nations for their evil doings, their idolatry, their wicked practices, you might think, oh, what a harsh God. He's striking people down and sending invading armies to deal with them and all of that. But the heart of God is revealed in these verses because it says to us that the Lord brings forth these judgments in order that that nation might turn and come to know the Lord. The Lord will strike Egypt, it said, striking but healing, so they will return to the Lord, and he will respond to them and will heal them. And this is a beautiful attribute of God. God always desires for people to turn to him, receive his forgiveness, receive his cleansing, receive his healing for their lives, and then be able to be restored into relationship with their heavenly Father. And we are talking about people who were worshiping idols, who were oppressing God's people Israel, and yet the Lord had a heart for them. Even while they were idolaters, even while they were sinners, even while they were terrorizing the Israelites, God loved the Egyptians. And you know, throughout the Old Testament and throughout the Bible actually, Egypt is always symbolic of the world. So you could say in this passage that we get a sense of how God feels about and his heart toward people in the world who don't love God, who don't honor God, who don't care a thing about God. So maybe they don't even believe there is a God. And they pursue their own desires, they act wickedly, they oppress other people, maybe they are murderers and adulterers and kidnappers and terrorists or any type of wicked, sinful person, and yet God has a heart for those people. He had a heart for these Egyptians who worshipped idols, who oppressed his people, who terrorized them, who did wicked things, and yet God still had this desire to reveal himself to them and to heal them. And it is the same for mankind today as it was in the time of Isaiah the prophet when he wrote these words about the nation of Egypt. But this is speaking to us about the character of God, about the very nature of the heart of God. This is the truth. People in the world who even acknowledge there might be a God oftentimes have in their minds an image or a false portrayal of God as simply being a harsh judge who doesn't love people but just wants to punish them for doing things he doesn't like. And yet the reality is that God is a loving God who longs to reveal himself to people, who longs to reconcile people back into relationship with him as their father, as their creator, and bring them to a place where he can save them, deliver them from bondage, and heal them completely. If you have given your heart to the Lord, then you already know that he is a savior. You may know that he's a deliverer. You may have experienced him as a healer, both of your emotions or maybe your broken heart or of your body. But he is all of those things, and he really longs to reveal himself to people in that way. So when you hear these Old Testament stories and maybe you recoil because they sound so very harsh, understand that God's heart is to turn people toward himself, respond to them, and heal them, as we heard here in the 19th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And that is something that is good news. It's good news to us today. And if you know somebody who is far from God, who doesn't know, love, or maybe even acknowledge God, pray for them that they, like the Egyptians mentioned here in the book of Isaiah, that they will get a revelation of the reality and truth of who God really is. Because it says here that God revealed himself to the Egyptians when they cried to the Lord because of the oppression they were under from this foreign nation that was oppressing them. And he responded to them by sending them a savior. And he delivered them and he healed them. God will do that for you. God will do that for your friend or your family member who's far from God. Just pray that the God who loves to heal and restore will reveal himself to that loved one that you're praying for. God bless you and give you a victorious week.